Live from the Richard Harris Law Firm Studios and streaming at lvsportsnetwork.com.
In transition, here's Watt. Watt, stick check, drops it off. Hannafin scores!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your source for exclusive interviews, access with the team, breaking news, and in-depth analysis.
Pearson centered, they score! Brett Howden, a hero again!
Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Chris Chapman, broadcasting live from the Richard Harris Law Firm Studios. Richard Harris Law Firm, where they've won billions for their clients with their less fee guarantee. A couple of games over the weekend. The conference finals continue tonight with the Oilers and the Dallas Stars. Edmonton looking to take a 3-1 series lead. The Stars looking to tie things up before going back home for game number 5. And the Florida Panthers could not get the job done. They could not sweep the Carolina Hurricanes yesterday. Carolina picks up their first victory in the Eastern Conference Final since winning a Stanley Cup. The losing streak is halted at 15 games in the Eastern Conference Final for the Carolina Hurricanes. Chris Chapman, how we doing?
I'm doing good. I do believe we also have Darren. He let me know that he is available or he's on. But I'm doing great. I enjoyed the three-day weekend. And we took our trip to Los Angeles, and I tried the hat for the first time, and I came away very, very satisfied. My favorite part might have been the fact that they have, like, that Orange Julius drink on tap. Mm-hmm. So, like, instead of getting, like, a Coke or Pepsi or Dr. Pepper or whatever, I was able to get, like, a orange cream. It tasted like Orange Julius to me. I know it wasn't like actually Orange Julius, but it was a really good pastrami sandwich. Very good pastrami sandwich. And we got the chili cheese fries, which there were so many of them, we had to bring them home and heat them up yesterday for lunch. So
I should have told you they were pretty heavy orders. So if we've got Darren Millard, let's bring in Darren Millard. Darren, how you doing?
Maybe we don't have him.
Oh, do we not have Darren Millard?
No, he says he's on, but...
Okay. Well, as we get that sorted out, as mentioned, the Carolina Hurricanes, they stave off elimination to force a Game 5 in the Eastern Conference Final tomorrow. A lot of intriguing aspects coming out of that game. Maybe the biggest one for me is Logan Stankoven, who just kind of continues to be that guy for the Carolina Hurricanes. He had a fantastic game there in game number 4, a big reason why the Hurricanes are still moving on to play another game. As we mentioned, we've got the Dallas Stars and the Edmonton Oilers. That game 4, goes a little bit later on today. We've got one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. That'll come at you in hour number 2 as well. But sticking on the Carolina Hurricanes, like, Logan Stankoven was the player that the Hurricanes are able to acquire moving off of Mikko Rantanen. And for Stankoven to be a guy that has scored some big goals for them, not just in this playoff run, but specifically in that game yesterday, it's not insignificant, especially because of, and Darren's talked about it on the show before, how much flack the Carolina Hurricanes have gotten over trying something, right? Trying something by looking to acquire Mikko Rantanen and recognizing that it didn't work the way that they were hoping that it would, and then going out and finding a player, getting assets back that can help you not just right now, but in the future. And so for Stankoven to be the guy that scores the game-winning goal off of a great pass from Alexander Nikishin, his first NHL point, like, those are all things that I think should bode well for Carolina moving forward. But the fact of the matter is, like, for that player to show up in that moment and deliver that first victory in the Eastern Conference Final, it's huge.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly can now, maybe that pressure's off a little bit, right? Because that had to be hanging over Rod Brendamore's head. Hey, you guys have lost, even though he wasn't there for some of them. he was there for a big chunk of it, and his core players were there for a big chunk of it, and I'm sure they were sick and tired of hearing about it. And now they don't have to worry about that anymore. They won the game. Now they can go out and they can play hockey. They can play their style of hockey. And I think they've got to feel pretty good. You know, the crazy thing, Ryan, and you and I were talking a little bit before we came on the air, is even though they were down 3-0 in that series, some of those games were pretty tight contests, at least for 40 minutes. And I think at the end of the day, it was just because Florida's just a better team that they ended up being able to outlast Carolina in some of those games. But, you know, you're down 3-1. There's no pressure on you at this point because no one expects you to come back and win. So I'd like to see if we can get a series now out of this, because I think for Carolina, you know, they finally got that one win. There's no more, oh, this is hanging over our heads. We haven't won in 15 times or whatever it was. And now you go out and play Carolina Hurricane hockey, and their brand of hockey may not be the most aesthetically pleasing, but it works, and it works for them, and they've got the right players to get it done. And Freddie Anderson was great yesterday, I thought. And listen, maybe he can get another solid performance, and all of a sudden maybe we can get to 3-2, and maybe that starts to creep up in the back of the minds of Florida. Hey, we were up 3-0 last year in the Stanley Cup final, and we lost 3 straight. And we had to win a very tight game to prevent ourselves from having a monumental collapse. But all of a sudden, if you're Carolina, you could win one more game. The pressure starts to move in favor of the Panthers, and you'd have to think that that's only a good thing for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, and Chapman, try to pull Mallard up on the other unit. I'm interested to see how many people think that this win for Carolina is a win that kind of springboards a comeback.
I'm shocked by Chapman's confidence.
Well, I didn't say I was confident they were going to do it. Just that
I'm surprised, and I come at it from
there.
The other direction,
I'm
where you guys were on board thinking that this was going to be a tight series. And it was a dud for 3 games. Like, it was lopsided. As close to what I saw in the 80s and from Chicago against Edmonton, where it was just a mauling in the third round between the Norris division and the Smythe division and those series. I felt, to this day, feel bad for Murray Bannerman in the Chicago Blackhawk goal in that set. And we end up getting a better series, but it took a perfect performance by Carolina defensively, and I don't think that happens again. So I think that was a fluke, a one-off, based on what I've seen through the first 4 games, and you're going to see Florida booking their ticket to the Stanley Cup final in game 5. Nothing tells me that any other result is in the offering. I'd be happy if it continued because we get extra nights hockey, and I don't want nights off until we get to the Stanley Cup final. If we could get 7-game series alternating every nights and then going to the Stanley Cup final with a nice couple of game 7s, it'd be brilliant. But against Carolina and Florida, nothing shouts that to me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Darren, in that Carolina played as close to a perfect game as they could possibly play, and it was 1-0, right? Like, as good as Carolina played, you still didn't really have the sense that they were going to break out offensively. Sergei Bobrovsky was really, really good. Freddie Anderson, obviously very good, but it wasn't as if the Hurricanes were dominant in terms of creating a ton of chances and, you know, win this one 3 or 4-0 because they score 3 goals on Bobrovsky. It was 1 goal on Bobrovsky. It was a really close game until a couple of empty netters. And, you know, for Carolina, I would have needed to see more from them to say, okay, they're back and they can make a series out of this.
And remember, Florida's missing 3 key guys yesterday.
Yeah.
Not front line power play guys, but really strong middle of the pack dudes. And they were still effective in that game. And I didn't see the level of play from Carolina yesterday that I needed to say, they can pull off a historic run that that we've only seen a handful of times in National Hockey League playoff history. And I'm not even sure that we saw enough to say there's a potential to make this go beyond five games. And once the next game's the real key game in all of this. When you get down 3-0 in a series, the way it worked out in this one, Carolina wins on the road to extend it. They've got the great opportunity in five at home to extend the series and make people think. And then you really only have to win one game with some pressure on you. Mm-hmm. Game four, there's no pressure. You're just going out there, and if you get swept, you get swept. And if you extend the series, good on you. Yeah, it might have just prevented the inevitable.
Sure.
You win game five, and there's a little more at stake, but still not enough. You went one. It's a gentleman, not a gentleman sweep, but you just you got on the board, and good on you.
Good for you.
That
you didn't
narrative.
Get swept.
We're happy for you. You didn't get swept, but you win four and five, and then you create some doubt. You only have to win one game with pressure on you in a hostile environment in Florida. That's game six. And if you ever rose to the occasion in that game, then you go back to Lenovo Center and Raleigh, and they're chomping the bit thinking that they can make something happen and witness history. So I nothing's told me that we're in that range yet, but it's within reach. If you can play like they did through four games and still have the series going, good on you. They were fine for through two periods and collapsed in three.
Yep.
They were better, their best game of the series in game four, but that was after their coach called them out.
Yep. And it needed to be
went
done.
Back to goaltending, your number one goaltender for game four after a switch, and he was pissed off. And he wanted to show not only the hockey world, but his coach, that they made a mistake in benching him for a game. All of that worked from three to four. Can you then do something on your own, those players, in game five? And to this point, I haven't seen that happen. Are they due? Absolutely. But Florida is a team that I feel like they may get pushed a little bit in game, between games, but they always punch back.
Yeah, I don't think Florida had their game, right? And that's just something that happens over the course of...
And they were
of,
still good.
Yeah, they were fine, but they weren't the Florida Panthers. It wasn't that onslaught, that wave after wave that you see with Florida. They were passing up chances that they generally don't pass up.
But they hit a couple of posts.
Sure.
The first shot of the game, Freddie Anderson made a
great save.
Glove save off the tip of his glove.
Yeah.
And those, I can't tell you how many times, end up in the back of the net. And he got the roll on it. And it was a great save. Mm-hmm. But it was, you can't even say by the smallest margin, because it hits the top of his glove, borderline outside of his glove, deflected. It was so minimal that he stopped that puck that in real time, none of us thought that was a Freddie Anderson save. We thought it was a shot missed.
Shot
and
wide.
You saw the replay and you went, whoa. That was amazing. So I think Carolina got every break.
Mm-hmm.
The offside goal excluded, but that's black and white. It you can't even say that goal was called back, because it shouldn't have counted.
Right, exactly.
So they got every break, good on them, but I still have to see so much more before I even consider the Florida Panthers won't be the Eastern Conference representative.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, part of part of looking at it and saying the Florida Panthers, I just don't think that they were on their A game, is that they'll be back. They'll get there. They that's what they do. If they have an off night or if they're not as good as they typically are, that's a room that can course correct and get themselves back to that level of play. So I'm fully expecting the Panthers to be much, much better in game number five. And then, you know, as far as I'm like looking at it, it's, you still need, if you're Carolina, maybe it's a blessing and a curse to a certain extent, but you haven't had that moment, that game from Sebastian Aho or Andrei Svechnikov. Now, they were better in game number four, but you still look for those guys to kind of take over and do something special. If they can do that in game five to push this to a game six, then maybe you're cooking with something, but you're just not there yet. You're just not.
I am happy, and you mentioned it while I was getting set up here, navigating my technology over in Studio 31. Logan Stankoven was outstanding
so
yesterday.
Good.
And that's one of the criticisms of Logan Stankoven going over in the Mikko Rantanen swap is he's not a player that is built for this type of series against a bigger, more physical opponent. Regular season, he's going to be fine. Against a Washington Capital team, he'd be really good. But he's under 5'10" with all kinds of skill, but he's more easily defendable in this environment.
Yeah.
And it's not a good matchup for him. If you were a pitcher batter, it's not a good solid head-to-head matchup for Logan Stankoven, and he scored his goal from a very difficult area and had other opportunities. Does Aho respond? Does Svechnikov respond? Does Seth Jarvis respond? Does Jackson Blake step up? Does Shane Gostisbehere find his rhythm? They have a lot of veterans, and they were better yesterday, but they have a lot of veterans, and Blake, I realize, is a rookie. Their core, they need to be a whole lot more effective than even they were in game four. And did Florida take a breather? I don't think so. But what wasn't their A or B game still got them to within a couple of minutes of a 1-0 game yesterday. And their goaltender didn't give up a thing yesterday. And that's why I believe the Florida Panthers. And if they get to a Stanley Cup final, and I'd love your opinions, and on the text line as well, 876-1340, 702-876-1340. If the Florida Panthers get to the Stanley Cup final, is that more impressive than what the Tampa Bay Lightning did in reaching three straight Stanley Cup finals, which was in shortened schedules and bubbles? Yeah. It's not their fault.
Right.
They played the games in front of them, and they won two of three championships and got to three straight Stanley Cup finals. But right now, we're dealing with a flat cap, and we're dealing with 82-game regular seasons and full rounds of the playoffs with full travel. And I think even if Florida loses in the final, it's comparable to what Tampa Bay did in winning a couple of championships. If Florida wins a second straight final after and going to three straight, it's easily tops out what the Tampa Bay Lightning did. And when you factor in that 3 years ago, they won the President's Trophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could start a narrative of using the D word. Mind out of the gutter.
You need to win, multiple championships to really classify.
If they win now, two straight championships, three finals, and 4 years with the President's Trophy, that's a dynasty. It's not the Oilers. It's not the
Islanders.
Islanders, it's not Montreal. Yep. It's not even Chicago, who won 3-6, but never won back to back. But that sort of set the stage. The what Chicago did in the mid 20 teens as your dynasty. Gary Bettman, I'll remember, I was there the night that he said modern day dynasty in handing over the Stanley Cup to Jonathan Toews. That was 3-6. You went back to back, coupled with three straight final appearances and the President's Trophy. That checks the box for me.
Yeah, I would be inclined to say modern day dynasty Florida Panthers if they go to the Stanley Cup final for a third straight year and win back to back championships. Like, I think you're there because, you know, this is a team that over the last 4 years has been right there. By any way that you define success in the National Hockey League, they've done it all. They've had regular season success, obviously, with the President's Trophy. Then you go out and you make a trade for Matthew Tkachuk. You move on to Paul Maurice. And then from that point forward, you're playing in the Stanley Cup final every single year. That's just the reality of the situation. That is just, you know, an organization that coming off of a President's Trophy realized that they needed to do something different to get that success in the postseason. Then they do it. I'm with you. If they
and it works,
win,
like it works to perfection. Bill Zito didn't think they could win with the style of play that Andrew Burnett had utilized, picking up off of Joel Quenneville, a little too loose. Yeah. And they let Andrew Burnett go.
Yeah.
For a veteran coach, but all along this trip, Ryan, what's should be mentioned and heralded as perhaps the biggest compliment to the Florida Panthers over the last 4 years as they knock on the door of a third straight trip to the final is they've done it basically in a flat cap era, which means you can't just pay your players to stay. You have to make difficult decisions. Now, some of that was easier because of long-term contracts coming in. Some of it was easier because of a suspension to Aaron Ekblad this year, which allowed Seth Jones to slide in and some availability there. But they navigated this, and that is the most impressive part to maintaining a competitive balance. And I didn't think that they would be anywhere close to the level that they're at right now, given what they've been through the last three seasons and the attrition that is involved in playing that much hockey. We saw it firsthand, Golden Knights, from not going deep and missing the playoffs to winning a Stanley Cup because they were so fresh to then being overwhelmed by injuries the next year, losing the first round, to being much more competitive this year. It's a factor, and Florida has been able to do that with tough decisions on their roster, and some players wanted to go there, and they were at the event. Brad Marchand wanted to go there. Seth Jones wanted to go there. So they took advantage of what's before them, and it's blown me away that not only they're back to an Eastern Conference final, but they're head and shoulders the better team in the Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, just to kind of put a bow on your question about if they go to a third straight Stanley Cup final, even if they win or lose, doesn't matter what the outcome is, is that more impressive than what Tampa did? I think in a lot of ways that it is, because you're talking about full travel. You're talking about an 82-game schedule. You are looking at just how difficult it is to go through an entire season with some amount of health, some amount of being able to kind of put things together. And then you go into the playoffs and you need breaks. You need things to kind of break your way in different scenarios. And, you know, the fact of the matter is when you are looking at the amount of hockey the Panthers have played over the last 3 years and just how consistently good they have been in the postseason year over year over year, and you mentioned some of the turnover on the roster, but their ability to bring guys in and get the most out of them as well, it's a great room, and they just continue to find ways to just be better in every aspect. They're not overwhelmed by the moment. They're not overwhelmed by an opponent in any way, shape, or form. And they take what you do best and they turn you on it, and they take over games that way, take over series that way. They're incredibly tough as a team. So in a lot of ways, getting to three Stanley Cup finals over the course of 3 years in a full season situation is more impressive to me than what Tampa did, even though there were a lot of things swirling around at the time that Tampa was able to do it.
The Western Conference Final has also been knocked off kilter. A little less competitive in-game than we expected. We'll talk about that. And let's go through some of the rosters and decide, based on potential Hall of Famers, who's got the best team right now? Is it Florida? Okay. Is it the Dallas Stars or the Edmonton Oilers? I'm not putting Carolina at the front of that pack, but they got some good players, but maybe not quite there as a long list of Hall of Famers. It's the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports, Las Vegas. Stay with us. Darren Millard, along with Chris Chapman and Ryan Wallace, the VGK Insider Show, rolling along through the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've got to Game 4 of the Western Conference Championship Series tonight, the Western Conference Final, putting the Edmonton Oilers in a position to grab a 3-1 lead with their third straight victory. No Matthias Ekholm in this game. Rupe Hintz, game-time decision. But it sounds like he's going to play. Dallas needs a better performance, needs to be more on top of it, need better goaltending. Swing game tonight in this best of seven third round series between the two Western Conference powerhouses.
Yeah, I mean, I think you touched on it, right? Like, they need Jake Oettinger to be better, obviously, when you look at the 6-1 loss in game number three. I thought Dallas did a lot of good work in the second period. They created a lot of chances. Stuart Skinner was very, very good for the Edmonton Oilers. And then that goal from Connor McDavid, and I realize it's Connor McDavid, but you needed to get out of that period down just a goal instead of the two. And then Dallas obviously chased the game in the third period, and you know, the Oilers didn't have many chances, but every chance they had, they put in the back of the net. So in that situation, yeah, you're right. Jake Oettinger needs to be better, but the Dallas Stars need to find a way to score some goals. Like, they have created looks, they've created chances, but they just have not been able to finish with any regularity, and it's a big reason why they are in a really tough spot. And you know, I feel like this is going to be a game where if the Dallas Stars can't find a way to get some production from, you know, like a Wyatt Johnston, or you know, I know Jason Robertson scored, but you need something out
Jamie Benn's Tyler taking some heat right now.
Like, and rightfully so, right? Like, he hasn't performed. He hasn't scored. He hasn't had that one moment in this series where,
not this series. I thought he was really good against Winnipeg.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, like, Mikko Rantanen, I think, has been good, but he hasn't scored, right? And that was the difference early on in these playoffs for the Dallas Stars. Mikko Rantanen was going off for two or three goals every single night, and he had 4 or 5 points every single night, and he was carrying this team. If they're not going to get production from elsewhere, they've got to get production from Rantanen, and he just has not been able to be as prolific in this series as he was the two prior.
What's with the world right now? We've got Edmonton shutting down the opposition's top performers and thriving through depth.
I think the Edmonton Oilers are a pretty good team. Like, I am as surprised as I think a lot of people are right now. But again, like, I kind of harken back to what Bruce Cassidy said, right, in the locker room cleanout. Like, if you were going to tell me that McDavid and Draisaitl would have 3 goals together combined in a 5-game series, I'd say we win. And yet it's the Edmonton Oilers' depth pieces, their depth players that continue to show incredibly well in these games. And, you know, McDavid had 2 goals in game three. But I think that the Oilers are a team right now that is not afraid to play all four of their lines. And they're getting contributions from up and down the lineup. They've been really, really good this playoffs.
Dallas would be better if Thomas Harley returns to his form from the first 2 rounds. That would be helpful. They would also be certainly more competitive if their depth players were able to finish a little bit more. And by that, talking Sagan or Dodonov or Marchment in there, Blackwell, I don't think should be counted on in that group, but he's shown that he can be involved on that. Sam Steele, I think, is at the top end of what's expected of him. Yeah. So that the fourth line guys, I'll take off the hook, except for Jason Robertson. If Jason Robertson ends up playing on that fourth line again, because he's been up and down. It's funny how he had the off-season surgery, mm-hmm. and couldn't train. Couldn't get on top of his preparations for a National Hockey League season, and it took him a long time. They were extremely patient with him, but a lot of us were wondering, what's wrong with Jason Robertson? And then he just took off. The slow start cost him a berth on the Four Nations Faceoff USA roster.
Yep.
But the Dallas Stars were never really worried about Robertson because they were on the inside of how much behind he was. He suffered the late season injury and missed the start of the playoffs. And he, for the second time this year, hasn't been able to get on track again. Mm-hmm. And what they're hoping is that it'll be a same situation of midway through the season, midway through the playoffs, it clicks in for him. But right now, like the future of that team in Robertson and Wyatt Johnson, like in 5 years, they're going to be still there working it with Mikko Rantanen. And you need more from those two stars. But along with that, Duchesne, Marchment, Dodonov, Sagan, Ben, who's a depth guy now.
Yeah.
They have to find a way to put more pressure on the Edmonton Oilers. And I don't care how many shots you have. Mm-hmm. It's not the same as pressure. I didn't think that Stuart Skinner was a game changer the other night in that victory in game four of that series. I didn't see it. Game three of that that series. He was busy, mm-hmm. but he wasn't under siege. And Dallas has to do a much better job of making life difficult on the Edmonton goaltender to make him handle pucks, to make him be better at controlling rebounds and come up with big saves, not just saves.
Well, how much credit are you giving to the Oilers' defense in front of Stuart Skinner? Because there was nothing clean for Dallas, right? Like, sticks and lanes, block shots, all of it. Like, the Oilers defensively have done a really good job of, you know, making things a little bit easier on Stuart Skinner. I know the volume was there shots-wise, but kind of to your point, there weren't a ton of dangerous plays. And a lot of that is because the Oilers defensively have done a really good job in front of Skinner.
You know what I would do if I was Dallas? And this is a slippery slope, and it really does go against my thinking.
Okay.
In being offensive in the National Hockey League and trying to score, I would shoot less, and I would try to make a couple more plays, and I would focus on lateral plays or net traffic plays. But I wouldn't just give right now. There's times when Stuart Skinner's vulnerable and I would put everything in the net.
Yeah.
But right now I would take a step back and try to make more plays against that blue line and that goaltender and try to expose them with that extra shot. It's in a way You've set up Edmonton with shot volume, especially in Game 3. Mm-hmm. Like, everything went to the net. And not a lot of challenging saves or Royal Road going across the front of the net passes. Not a lot of low to high. Just straight on opportunities. Get the puck to the net, hope for a rebound, and or catch them in a particular moment and beat Stuart Skinner. Tonight, I would love to see Dallas be more patient with the puck and work work the puck east to west more in the offensive zone. If you can, if you don't want to be causing turnovers, you don't want to be passing up great point blank opportunities just to go east west. That's not what I'm saying. But I don't want the 35 foot shot from the top of the circle that he can see. I want you to make a better play on that, which I think, even if it doesn't work, gives you the same scoring chance or better than taking that low percentage top of the circle, get pucks to the net.
Now, this is something we talked about the last couple of times the Golden Knights have played the Dallas Stars in the playoffs, and that is when Jason Robertson gets one goal, he usually heats up, and he did get a goal in game number three. So I'm interested to see if that kind of sparks Robertson. I thought he was around the puck a little bit more in game three. I'd say the same thing for Wyatt Johnston, just kind of around it a little bit more, but not as dangerous as you'd like him to be. But, you know, as far as the Dallas Stars, I don't care who it is. You need somebody to catch fire. You need somebody to go and make some plays. Johnston and Rantanen, for me, are kind of the two guys that make the most sense there. But it would be huge for the Dallas Stars if Jamie Benn can get himself going in this series.
Well, look at Jason Robertson's game log. Just to delve a little bit deeper into what you were setting up about gets one and starts it off. The front part of the season, that was difficult. At one point, scored a hat trick. Thought that was going to kick off his season. But when you go back to the first 20 games, not a lot was going on. But when he found his rhythm, scored one, scored two the next game, scored one in each of the next two after being held off the board. So that's five goals in five games over a stretch. Had a quiet game, and then scored in three straight games. Had a quiet game, scored in two straight, including a multiple goal game.
Yeah, like,
there's a lot of streaks in January to February when he started to find it. Went four straight with a goal. In March, went four straight with a goal, two of them being multiple goal games.
Yeah,
so that's when he was going. Things slowed down at the end, and then the injury. Those two things coupled together. He wasn't feeling great when he got hurt. Like, he wasn't feeling super confident when he got hurt.
Yeah.
But if you find it, and confidence is such a big part. I don't think the average person, the sports fan, whether it's hockey or hoops or baseball, will ever realize how much confidence plays a role in every single player, superstar to fourth liner. If you're a superstar and you're not feeling confident, you are going to have trouble producing. If you're the most talented player in the world, you're going to have trouble producing. Jason Robertson is in the top percentile when it comes to talent. Not feeling it right now, but did score the other night. You're right. And based on history, just based on what we watched him do, he's managed to rip those off. And scoring his first goal of the playoffs, and that's the thing. It's not like he's been just a little off. He hadn't scored a goal in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Since he came back in the Winnipeg series. Mm-hmm. And only a couple of points along the way. Playing on the fourth line, that doesn't help your whole mindset. Mm-hmm. Scoring the other night, work his way back. And if he gets another one tonight, he's not in the fourth line.
No.
In game five.
No, not at all. And if he gets, you know, another one tonight, then you're starting to wonder, is this one of those moments where Jason Robertson just catches fire? And, you know, for the Dallas Stars, they need it to happen. And when he's going, they're a different team, right? You know, we're not talking about a player that, you know, doesn't have the ability to go on a run here. He had a 46 goal season and 109 points just 2 years ago. Like, this is a guy that can score and score at a really high elite clip. So, you know, it's been a struggle all year for Robertson to find his game, but if he can get there now, especially in this back half of the Western Conference Final, then the Dallas Stars can find something. But, you know, you gotta get that next one. They've got to find a way to get Robertson to continue to push in the right direction here.
See what happens tonight. And Edmonton doesn't want to change a thing. Not a thing.
Why would they?
They have managed to go on a couple of streaks in these playoffs and find their game and carry it over from game to game. They don't want to change a thing. That's coming up in just a little bit. Game 4 of the Western Conference Final between the Dallas Stars and the Edmonton Oilers. Rematch from last year. Edmonton won that series. They went to the Stanley Cup Championship and all the way to a Game 7. So we know what's at stake for both these teams. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and set up hour number 2 of the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Studio 31 and over at the studios of Fox Sports Las Vegas at Lotus Broadcasting, Darren Millard, Ryan Wallace, and Chris Chapman. Chapman's been very quiet today since I managed to unclog my technical challenges.
Well, you jumped in and told him that he was surprising you with how optimistic he was about the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, it's wishful thinking on my part because the realization hits every year about this time that we only have maybe a dozen or so games left in the NHL. And I want to extend that as long as possible because once the Stanley Cup is awarded, we go through withdrawal every year where there's no hockey. So
what do we go through?
Withdrawal.
It's a New Jersey thing, man.
What?
Yeah, what is that?
Withdrawal? Like you've never gone through withdrawal?
Withdrawal, no, yeah, withdrawal.
Yeah,
there's no extra R in there, buddy.
Yeah, what was... I at first thought you were slurring. I'm like, no, I think you meant to say it that way.
Withdrawal. Yeah.
No, withdrawal.
Withdrawal.
What are you? Yeah, it's like the donkey versus
donkey
conversation we had the other day.
It is. Yeah. Okay, say I'm going through withdrawal from not seeing my donkey.
I'm going through withdrawal from not seeing my donkey.
And you don't have an accent. That's the best part.
Really? You don't think so?
No, I don't think you have a New Jersey accent.
Maybe
a slight, but not anything over the top.
No. And
then you throw in donkey and
hold on.
Certain things say, I say.
Chapman, say water.
Water.
That's close.
There's an R in there.
Water.
Yeah, I don't mind that one as much. Withdrawal is totally.
Listen, I
outside in left field.
I
and
know
donkey isn't even right.
Drawer, like I put drawl. I put my socks in a drawer. You know?
Can you say drawl?
Drawl.
Yeah, like a drawl, like a cowboy drawl.
Withdrawal.
Now say withdrawal.
Withdrawal.
No, nope. Not even,
can't
nope.
Do it. Nope. Can't do it.
No, nope. He's hung up on it. Hour number 2 is coming up on Fox Sports Las Vegas.